No, can you hear me? There we go. We're getting there. Sorry about that. So, how many of you watched probably in the 50s black and white westerns? And there was a new sheriff in town. Okay, I think this all makes sense towards the end of my sermon. There's not a new law in town, there's a new sheriff in town. Last time I spoke on Who Is Your Doctrine, I touched on the law. And I said I would preach on a Sermon on the Mount next time. So I've been allowed back, thank you. So, and the smoke is affecting everything. So, let's go to Matthew chapter 5. And who is your doctrine? I went right to the Transfiguration. And God Almighty, the Father, spoke while Moses and Elijah were standing there, and he said, "Listen to my son." In the Jewish culture, that is huge, because who had they been listening to their whole lives? Moses and Elijah, the prophets and the law. So if you studied the Greek word, it was "listen to my son," all the way to having the effect of not listening to what you heard before. That's the word in the Greek. Then I read a quick chapter, quick to me, I don't know about you guys. Pilgrim's Progress, how everybody was coming on the way with Christian. And he's like, "Didn't you come through at the gate?" And he was talking about Christ. And they're like, "No, but we're on the same road as you, so it doesn't matter." We're all going to heaven. And some of it dealt with who our doctrine is. So we will, here we go, introduction. So we're going to start with Sermon on the Mount. I'm not going to read the whole thing. We will do chapter 5 today. We will start, of course, with verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, and he was seated. Well, that one says he sat down. Depends on your version. So, or up here. Doesn't that seem odd in English? He was seated, but he couldn't find a log nice to sit on or a rock that had a good view. So it's like, well, why is that word in there? Every word in the Bible is there for a reason, and they all speak of Christ. So I was looking at this, reading this, and studying this, and I was like, what does it mean he was seated? And then I found, and I'm going to go to it, in Isaiah chapter 2. Because you got to remember, he's talking to Jewish people. Their whole culture was their religion. Their whole culture was God and the law. So we need to take that into account. So that makes more sense to us. I'll start with that. I got that one on there. Yes. Okay. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem: in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains, and it will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. That go on? Should be number 3. There we go. Thank you. And many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." Anywhere in the Old Testament where you see mountains, it denotes authority. So, and men went up on the mountain. Moses went up on the mountain. So we see that. And again, this would have been very fresh in our minds. It would have been part of their culture. So once we understand that Jesus is taking the seat of authority as he begins to speak, and he has just been baptized, he was went out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, and then after he came out of there, he started his ministry. His ministry, the first thing he said is what? Repent. His first word of his ministry. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. His second thing, if you have a red letter Bible, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So one thing we're going to see differently as I read this is Moses went up on the mountain, not quite alone. Joshua went with him, but nobody else was invited. So it's a whole different scenario to begin with. But who's coming up now? His disciples are coming to him. And he opened his mouth and he taught them, and they'd be looking for this. So, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed. Blessed, spiritually prosperous, happy to be admired, are the poor in spirit, those devoid of spiritual arrogance, those who regard themselves as insignificant. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven, now and forever. So Jesus has now said, repent, follow me, and be humble. I think those are good words to live by when we're in Christ. Of course, he goes on to say other things. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. And blessed. Jesus is coming literally out of the gate, both gun shooting, new sheriff in town, right? And he's blessing everyone. What did the law give us in Deuteronomy 27 and 28? Cursed are you if you don't do this. Cursed are you if you don't do that. You're cursed. So we're seeing a whole new shift in what's going on, and Jesus is bringing it to us. It's hope. It's hope and it's love. So, 10, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its flavor, how can it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Is Jesus talking about salt? Anybody want to tackle that one? A Christian is the flavor, and we've seen wonderful flavors this morning of people walking in love, and salt added brings out that flavor. So if your Christian walk it does not honor Christ, it loses its saltiness. People no longer want to hear what you have to say because there's a bad taste in their mouth. Does that make sense? So that's Jesus is going with this. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So we do it for the glory of God. Verse 17 should be our next one. Do not think I came to destroy the law and the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. All right. Destroy, it means to deprive of success or effort. Jesus says, I have not come to deprive the success or effort of the law, but to fulfill it, to complete it. And he did that for us. So, let's say I need a truck to go to work, and I go out and I buy a brand new one because they're cheap, right? So, and my truck payment is $1,500 a month. And I make $1,400 a month. So I'm working really hard. And I try to get overtime, and I take on a second job, and I need this truck so I can get to work. And I'm struggling, and every month I'm paying that bill, and it's a burden. And after a year, I just don't even know if I can keep doing it. So, and I go to the bank, and I'm getting ready to pay my monthly burden, right? And they say, well, someone's paid that for you. The debt's paid in full. What? What just happened to my burden? So, but now I want to thank the person that did that for me. A big mistake would be go back the next month when it's due and say, here's my money. They're going to say, what are you talking about? Legally it's paid. That debt's paid. You no longer have to keep coming in here and giving us your time and your money. So that's what Jesus is saying. He did not come to destroy it, but to fulfill it, to accomplish it on our behalf. All right. 18. For assuredly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law until all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven, but whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. This would have been a gut punch to everybody there. Number 20. For I say to you, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. So, remember the priests, they're wearing the stuff, the garb, everybody knows who they are. They're the best, they're the amazing, they run the services. I got to be more holy than them. You know, you got the widow with her mites, right? Could she do something like that? How about the unclean woman with the bleeding? So she could never do that. So she had no hope. But there is hope, and God's going to bring us that hope. Because our righteousness is going to exceed that of the Pharisees and of the priests. So, because we're going to know who our hope is in. 21. You have heard it was said. Let's put glasses on. You have heard it was said to those of old, "You shall not murder. Whoever murders will be in danger of judgment." Which law is that in the Ten Commandments? Number 6. So. But here's what Jesus says about that, the new sheriff in town. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause will be in danger of the judgment. Whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. Whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you're on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge hand you over to the officer, and you're thrown in prison. Surely I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny. So Jesus is tackling the law straight on. And he's saying, you shall not murder. Okay, I've never murdered anybody. Oh, sorry. It's falling. My ears are dropping. So, we'll get it figured out. Where was I? Okay, so Jesus is tackling the law. You shall not murder. Well, I've never killed anybody. And Jesus said, God looks at what? He looks at the heart. God's looking at the heart. I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause. So, Jesus takes it to the heart. So, Jesus isn't coming to give us a new law. He's going to deal with that. He's coming to give us a new heart. So, and that's where he starts with the Sermon on the Mount. Verse 27. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. That's number 7 in the Ten Commandments. But I say to you, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Too late, you haven't even got that far. So it seems impossible to honor God, doesn't it? So with the law, it is impossible to honor God. But those are his standards. Those are his boundaries. 29, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable that you lose one of the members than your whole body be cast into hell. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off, cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Obviously, Jesus isn't literally talking about gouging your eye out or cutting your hand off. He's saying, take it that seriously. So, if your eye be single, or if your right eye causes a problem, he talks about that later, and it's about your focus. What is your focus? We're not to be cyclopses. We're to have focus. And our focus is to be on Christ. So Jesus is telling us this. He's laying it out for us so we can't misunderstand it. Does that make sense? 31, furthermore, it's been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you, whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery. Whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. Again, you have heard it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. And those are tied together. What is a marriage vow? So, back then, I've heard it in an English vernacular. Woman, you burnt the toast, I divorce you. So, It seems silly, but that's what was going on. They weren't taking their oath seriously. So that's what Jesus is saying. You gave an oath. You keep your word. Of course, that was number 9 of the law. All right, 34. But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Whatever is more than that is from the evil one. You have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. Whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. Whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. Now he's getting on our toes, huh? So these are our things, our possessions. These are something that we may not want to offer. But Jesus is like, you know what, give it. God has given to us so freely. Just give it. It's not a big deal. You're not taking it with you. You have heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Deuteronomy 23. But I say to you, we see that a lot in the Sermon on the Mount. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. And he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. If you're not humble, you're not going to do that. So I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be angered if someone offends me. If my neighbor causes a problem, so and he starts cursing me. Yeah, well, let's go throw hands, buddy. I mean, that's human nature, right? So, but we don't have a human nature. We have a heavenly nature. So, and God gives rain and he gives sun and everything on the evil and on the good. So he wants us to be his children and act like he does. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? I don't think they like tax collectors. I think that's why he said it twice. So, therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. So our perfection is in our love. So, and it's not going to come through the law. There's not a problem with the law. So it was there for a reason. It set boundaries for who? People coming out of Egypt. They needed laws. Otherwise, they would act just like Egypt. So God brought them out of Egypt, and what did they do? Complained all the time they wanted to go back to Egypt. So, and that angered the Lord. For us, Egypt is the world. Worldly things. Our eye needs to be single. We need to take it seriously. We need to focus on what is important to the Lord. And I'm probably preaching to the choir a lot, but sometimes we need a reminder. So Jesus also, and I'm not going to look it up, but Jesus gave a parable about 10 virgins, and that represents believers. 5 were wise and 5 were unwise. 5 got ready. They filled themselves with the Spirit. They got their oil so that their light. What did Jesus say earlier? Let your light shine. So we need to be careful not to be lukewarm, especially in the days as they get worse and worse. But we have a Father who already knows and is already going to take care of us. All right. I'm going to jump to the end of it. Your homework is to read the rest of it. So, the Sermon on the Mount. The Old Testament law was given through Moses, and that's those were called the commandments. What are the commandments of the New Testament believer? The Sermon on the Mount. Those are our commandments. So we can go and honor Christ in that. All right, I'm going to jump to the end real quick. Chapter 7, Jesus wraps up his sermon. And he gives us a little bit of a warning here. Verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. What is that storm? We've got a few of it going on in our church right now. Various trials, that's what those storms are. That's what the pounding rain and the winds blowing. It's life, and Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow, because today has enough troubles of its own. We all know that, don't we? So God knows our struggles. He knows where he's trying to take us. He knows, at least for me, slow in getting there. So, but I'm willing to listen and willing to be humble. So, and so it was, verse 28. When Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So Jesus has this authority, and we saw that at the beginning, didn't we? When he was seated. So David was seated as the king of Israel. So they would have understood this saying, this gospel as it goes out to the Jews. But we can pick up a lot of nuggets just seeing it through a Jewish set of eyes, if that makes sense. So I'm going to wrap up. Yep, there's the commandments we covered. What's our next slide, young lady? Oh, here we go. Acts 4:13. Do we have that one on the slide? Nope. Okay, I'll go to it. So, Acts 4:13. This was the one I closed with last time. All right, well, I'm going to read 12. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And this is Peter and John. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. So my question to you and to me today is, do we spend time with Jesus on the mountain? Are we one of the disciples? Because it said very specifically that when he was seated, his disciples came to him. So, again, Moses went up basically alone. Joshua went with him. No one else was invited, but we're invited to go up to that mountain. Another funny thing that kind of came to me as I was reading this, that the Ten Commandments were written by the finger of God. And I hear this a lot from Torah keepers. But isn't it odd that the two tablets that Moses came in didn't even make it to the bottom of the hill before they were broken? Anybody else find that funny? Amen. It's just me. So here he has all these things and he can't even get to the bottom of the hill and they're broken. So, and that's the burden on those people. It's a burden. So what's nice is Christ has fulfilled that for us. When he died on the cross, he said, it is finished. Meaning it was fulfilled. So I want to encourage you to spend time on the mountain with Jesus. Reading Sermon on the Mount, reading Proverbs. So, how do we spend time with Jesus? John 5:39. You search the scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life. But it is these that speak of me. So the more you spend time in your word, and please don't just come to church for an hour every week. Spend time alone on the mountain with your Savior, reading his word, understanding who he is, and why he did all of this for you. So, and that is my prayer for you guys. So let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for your word. This word that speaks of your Son that you so graciously gave us when we did not deserve it. He came, he spoke, he gave us words of life and of love, and then he went to the cross. And he knew the whole time he was going to that cross. And he honored you by doing your will. May we do the same. In Jesus' name, amen.